Good evening, ladies and let the record show that all are present with the exception of Ed Ewing. I would like to is this on now? It's going, okay. I would like to just take a minute to introduce a new board member, Trudy O'Brien. Raise your hand for
Hi.
The viewing public, please. She's new to the board. Tonight's her first night, so welcome.
Thank you.
I'd like to have approval of the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those
aye.
Opposed? No. Minutes are approved.
Open it up for new nominations.
Shall we do that before or just do it where it is on the agenda?
Why don't you go ahead and finish as you're going now?
It's going now, okay. Then at this point, before we start with the agendized items, we open the meeting to oral communication. Anyone wanting to speak to the board on an issue other than that is on the agenda can feel free to do so at this time.
I have a hand up for the board, and I've got enough for everyone.
Okay.
Is this on the agenda?
Honorable board members, Joey Ricano. I'm with the California Ocean Outfall Group dedicated to ending waivers of the Clean Water Act, like the one Morro Bay has been dumping so much dirty sewage with for many, many years. But tonight I'm here to speak as a private citizen and a Morro Bay City Council candidate. As you know, in 1999, the legislature passed, as you can see in the handouts, the legislature passed the Marine Life Protection Act, which created a series of marine protected areas up and down the coast of California. It was subsequently signed into law by Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, creating these reserves, which have varying levels of protectiveness. There is the highest to lowest. The highest is an SMR, which is a state marine reserve. Now, if you read page 52 of the Marine Protected Area Master Plan, you can download it offline. There are many things that they talk about in specific detail, and one of those is that in a state marine reserve, take of any living marine organism and even disturbance is prohibited. And the take is not limited to fishing activities. So, interestingly, things like what you're attempting to do to the harbor, to the estuary, like which is basically, in my eyes, you're basically looking to turn it into Fort Lauderdale Marina, which it's just incompatible with the state marine reserve designation under the Marine Life Protection Act. Other effects that a marine reserve is not allowed to have to feel is sewage. Like the sewage we're dumping, once through cooling, like the power plant, you know. Actually, for harbor, what we need to do here is not to have the tail wagging the dog anymore. We have a state marine reserve. If you wanted to urbanize it, if you wanted to turn it into Fort Lauderdale Harbor, if you wanted to store diesel fuel, well, that should have all been done before the Marine Protected Act, before the Marine Life Protection Act initiative process came here to Morro Bay and created a state marine reserve in the Morro Bay East Estuary. It's not just the estuary. It's the entire watershed, which is collectively known as the Estero Bay Hydrologic Unit. It's 75 square miles and then some offshore. So what we have here is we have a big we're going nowhere project. You can't make any kind of industrial boatyard because anything you do is going to have an effect on the state marine reserve, and that is not legal. So even though nice organizations like the NEP and Surfrider want to cooperate with you and bend over backwards for you, it's simply not legal. And so therefore, I respectfully request that you get yourself a copy of the Marine Life Protection Act Master Plan of Marine Protected Areas and study it like I did. Check out Fish and Game Code 2850, and it'll clearly state the objectives of the MPA. I thank you for this opportunity to address you, and I do support you, but not on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just as an item of clarification for those in the audience, and I appreciate that most of Joey's discussion was on items other than the proposal that is on our agenda, but there will be a public hearing later on here very shortly, and you'll be an opportunity to speak to.
Sir, are you waiting to speak on the issue of that's agendized? Yeah, okay. We have Greg Barker here who requested that he be moved up on the agenda. He does want to speak on an issue related to the boatyard, but he has another commitment, and I did give him permission to speak now before we go to the election of chairman.
Thank you very much for allowing me to speak out of turn. I'll keep my comments very brief and succinct. I'm basically speaking both in support of the concept of the boatyard, but also with a very specific request that if it is implemented. In general, my comments in support of the boatyard are that Morro Bay is the preferred port of refuge between Monterey and Santa Barbara, and quite frequently visiting vessels are very disappointed when they seek refuge here that they can't get full boat services in order to ready their vessels to return to sea and continue their passage north or southbound. A boat yard facility would provide work for employees who would then, you know, be spending their money in the community as well as the income from the visiting boaters using those services. Additionally, I want to sort of reiterate something that was in the letter in this packet. There's a number of vessels that, you know, are aged in Morro Bay, and with a convenient way to service those vessels, I would like to urge that the consideration be made that larger vessels be able to be hauled out if the path towards a boatyard and haul-out facility is established. This does not have to be an expensive proposition. It just takes a little bit of forethought in order to accomplish this. There's more than one technology than the travel lift technology that's typically used, and we see down at Port San Luis. There are, for example, hydraulic trailers. If you have a ramp system, you can slide the trailer down on a telescoping pole, bring the boat over, and then the hydraulic arms come up, capture the boat, and haul it out. When you have a system like that, you can accommodate a broad range of boat types at not any more cost than some of the other technologies. So I just want to urge you that if it, you know, goes down that path, that that be a consideration. The way I phrased it in the email that I sent to Mr. Elgert was, you know, there's a lot of there's a growing popularity in things like cruising catamarans on the West Coast, and we're seeing more of those visit. And so if, you know, you could consider a system that would accommodate like the 90th centile of the production models or something like that. You wouldn't necessarily have to accommodate the biggest boat that's out there, but if you were to develop a system that could accommodate the majority of those vessels, that would be prudent planning. Thank you. That pretty much sums up my comments.
Can I ask you? Yes, Ed.
I had a question for you. When you haul your boat out,
the last time she was hauled out was actually with a crane down. That had to do with the, you know, the particular availability of that particular yard.
Any other quick questions? Is a hydraulic trailer something that you're in your own head, or is that a real thing?
No, it's available technology. Okay. I believe that Napa Valley Marine has it up at the Napa Valley Marina, for example.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry you have to wait.
Thank you.
It won't be long. Our next item of business here is the yearly election of Harbor Advisory Board chairman or chairperson and vice chairperson. I would like to open the nominations for chairperson.
I nominate Jim. How about that?
I'll second.
So we have a nomination and a second for Jim Phillips as chairman. I don't know if it's how to do this exactly, but maybe I'll call for the vote and we'll see how it works that way. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Opposed?
I guess we should ask that. I think it was unanimous.
Okay.
So Jim, I'm going to turn the meeting back over to you as chairman, and I hope you also take nominations for vice chairman.
Thank you, and thanks for the vote of confidence. The nominations are now open for vice chairperson.
I'll nominate Bill Lucky.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Congratulations. The next item on the agenda is the workshop on Coleman Embarcadero Area Capital Improvement Study, otherwise known as the Boatyard Project. And I will turn this over to Rick Algert for...
Excuse me, can I ask Rick one question? Did you get a chance to listen to the Parks and Recs meeting last Thursday, and what they—I know I glanced at it on TV, and they were talking about the field trip and everything. Did they come to any conclusion?
good evening, board members. I did not have a chance to watch or listen to that meeting yet, and really, I'm not able to report. I don't feel good at this point without having a chance to watch it. I'm not sure I can report on it. I did get a brief description that. They had a number of questions, and it really got continued, was my impression, without any kind of decisions. But I'm flying a little bit from the seat of the pants on that, with the seat of the pants. So what I was hoping to do tonight, and I apologize for being a little bit redundant, but there's folks at home who may be watching this for the first time, so I wanted to pretty quickly review the PowerPoint slides and the area, the aerial descriptions that we had from December meeting. So there's our project. So that's showing the bike path and the walkways that have been constructed. Okay, the green outlined area that just came in is the dune enhancement area. That's the area that the city has committed as a condition of the permitting for the harbor walk. Are you guys okay? Do you want me... You care? Okay. So it's okay if I put my back to you. The area in green there outlined is the area that's the city has committed to as a condition of the harbor walk permit to restoring the currently non-native, predominantly non-native species and dune accreted dunes to native species. At this time, we don't have funding to do that project, but we are committed to do that as a condition of the harbor walk project. And the white area that I think came in outlined is generally showing the existing parking area, the existing area, the larger area of the study area. Let's see if we can advance here one more time. We're trying. So we... A little bit of, let's see. Thank you very much. So now we're showing the existing ownership. We did talk about this, I think, at a couple of last meetings. And the starting at the very north end, the northern border of this aerial shows Morro Creek and the area, a large parcel owned by the city, this area right here. This is still owned by Morro Bay Power Plant. And this is an easement for roadway that doesn't exactly align with the current roadway, but it's important to understand there is an easement through that property. And then this area is all City of Morro Bay property. That is, this is the dune enhancement area also. In this area here, we have city property. And I believe this is city property too. So this area, these two parcels are city property. The area that is owned by the power plant is this area. Now I think the next slide is going to show us. That's it. Thank you very much. Okay, so this is the zoning. And so we can see, I think, maybe of most note for this group, it certainly is that the existing zoning, for Measure D, which is codified as the Commercial Recreational Fishing District, is this red area. So all of this area is the Measure D zoning. In summary, that zoning says that new uses have to be for commercial fishing or governmental uses, and that pre-existing uses can remain but cannot be expanded or improved. The blue area is open area. It's worth noting, too. Open area and OA2 with a CFPD overlay. So it has a commercial fishing and a public. I forget what the PD overlay means exactly. I'm out of my normal grounds here and planning stuff. But thank you. Okay, let's try the next one. Thank you very much. You know, could I go back to that? And one thing I want to comment, I guess we didn't really have a slide here, but we've talked a lot about the fact that the boating access facility plan, I'll talk about that a little bit again, but the boating access facility plan that was created in 1998 proposed a boat repair and dry storage yard roughly in this area over here. There was going to be a boat haul out in this area. We were going to use all this property. And two important things have come up. One is that we weren't able to acquire this property from the power plant at this time. So we don't own the midsection of what was going to be our boat repair yard. And then probably even more important is that the Coastal Commission, as a part of the permitting for the Harbor Walk project, has designated these areas as environmentally sensitive habitat. And so it is going to be a real challenge to work through a coastal permitting process when the Coastal Commission, if the Coastal Commission is not flexible in looking again at the actual biology in the area and letting us discuss whether that is indeed all environmentally sensitive habitat. Okay, let's try the next one. And I'm okay answering questions if you want along the way. So, thank you. This is the in 1989, the city, actually, I think maybe it's worth saying that the city's local coastal plan anticipated that the city would do a waterfront-specific plan. It actually stated that the city would complete a waterfront-specific plan, a waterfront master plan-specific plan. The city convened a commitment. They did a lot of work. That plan was done roughly about 1991 out of the committee, and it started a long, laborious process of working through various other commissions, boards for comments, city council for comments, took a number of iterations, was eventually, finally, adopted by the city council in roughly 1995, I think, even though this was 1996. It was right around 95 or 96. And what the next couple of slides we're going to show you are what the Waterfront Master Plan Committee and the Waterfront Master Plan that was adopted by the city intended the uses in this area to be. Now, worth noting is the boat launch facility that was going to be in the area of Target Rock. And in this area here, I think we'll see it, it's hard to read this. This area here was designated as a mixed recreational commercial fishing area. Let's try the next slide. I think, again, this is hard to read. I apologize. There was a lot of recreational uses, park uses intended. I think this was dry storage or marine-type uses, I think. And this was, designated for commercial fishing and recreational-type uses, all of this area here. Okay. So let's try the next slide.
that's just a little bit of history, and it isn't necessarily where we are today anyway, but this shows it probably a way we can depict a little better here. So here's the land uses, the general land uses that were intended out of that waterfront master plan. And again, we've got a park and recreation area over here, okay, these uses. We've got a commercial fishing, commercial recreation boating facilities here in the orange. What did that overlay? So that, I think all this slide does is overlay, okay. Now this is an important slide. What we've taken is that previous slide that showed the, well, okay, this is what, let's bring us now into modern day that RM has prepared this slide that's a slightly different than what we looked at in December to show us generally what they were talking about in December and what they were trying to summarize is where we may need to go from my standpoint or from our standpoint at this time. So what we've got is a purple area here that's joint commercial recreational boating facilities and park recreation area. So, no. So generally, this is an area that is, as we've all been through these last couple of months, there's recreation uses there. There's important, the only beach in the bay. A lot of public access and use and view sheds that are very important. And it's also the area that we have talked about if it's the only remaining area where you could put some kind of boat repair or boat haul out, boat storage facility, or at least boat haul out and boat repair or boat storage facility. So we tried to generally show that as these number of uses in that area. You've got the yellow overlay that's the Harbor Walk project. The suggestion was that basically the previous park-type facilities might be relocated over into this area. And in this area here, we feel, although this also is designated environmentally sensitive habitat by the Coastal Commission, so this is what we tried to present to you jointly in the Parks and Recreation Commission and the Harbor Advisory Board meeting in December. We kind of got stopped before we could get too far into consensus and had a lot of questions. But what I would like to do with the board tonight, and this is sort of the punchline, would be you've spent the last two or three months talking about this. Actually, I think for us it's been more like four or five months and many years really for a number of us. But the current conditions for the last 4 or 5 months, we've heard a fair amount of public comment already. We've seen there's been emails. There's a lot of good discussion going on, which I appreciate because these issues are very important for us, for the city, future parks, view sheds, a boat repair facility, a dry storage that could allow the harbor to continue to thrive. What I would love to see you do is tell me if there is any interest in pursuing a more detailed plan about how these mixed uses might go in here, or do you want to go and stick to our guns with what had previously been the boating access facility plan and work on trying to get the Coastal Commission and to change their designation here and acquire this property? You know, we could do that. There's not any project work to do on that right now. The first thing we need to do is try and acquire the property, and that's the existing plan, though. First thing you do is try and acquire the property from the Morro Bay Power Plant, and then work with Coastal Commission to see if there might be a way to negotiate some change in their determination on the sensitivity of the habitat. Or, as we say, work on a more immediate potential facility in this area that might be a mixed use. How do you feel about this suggestion? Pretty tired of me talking at this point. Let's see. I think there's one more slide. Let's see which one would be best to leave. Is that the end of it? Let's see. Okay. It might be best. Do you want to leave it up on the last slide?
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Okay. Let me just actually go back real quick. I should cover this real quickly, and then I'll take questions. But this is the Vision 2020, and I think this is important for the folks in the audience and all of us to understand that, you know, the city council and the city has set these goals here. And I guess you could argue that some of them might contradict or overlap or conflict, but we may not be able to achieve all our goals, but we need to try to achieve all of these goals. And real quickly reading, promote family destinations, ecotourism, pet-friendly destinations, enhance parking access, public education, on coastal-dependent commercial serving, promote safe and healthy harbor, economically viable commercial and sport fishing industry, adequate haul-out and boat yard facilities, boat beautification of open space, pedestrian-friendly waterfront, and public education. The two things are on there, public education. So we got a consensus there. Okay, yeah, so and we had a request to leave it on that slide. If you don't mind, I'll go sit down.
The yellow area to the top right, that was for like dry boat storage, like for trailable boats, larger trailable boats and that, right?
This is the concept, yes, that was the concept we were trying to show in December, that this recreation area.
So, and yeah. For the public, what's the zoning there?
I think if we went back to that slide, I think it's all CF district zone.
Commercial fishing zone, Major D, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm just making it clear for the so the public knows what we're talking about. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Public access, I believe, is public access facilities are also allowed in the CF district zone, but I would need to go back and, you know, that's a planner determination, but it isn't totally restrictive. The government uses public access, environmental restoration type things. Okay.
Clarification is if we do not obtain the power plant property, how would we be able to have access to that back right parcel for the dry storage, or if we did not, would that be not be able to be accessible?
It appears at this time we've left a little area here that without a road easement, and that's not all of the land negotiations are complete in that area. And I shouldn't talk too much about this, but there is a concept of prescriptive easements, prescriptive rights. With us having the roadway there for so long, I have no doubt that we could retain the existing roadway regardless of ownership and regardless whether we have an easement.
So the question being is that if we decide to do the dry storage back there, we would be able to have access to get the boats?
Okay. I feel so. And I, you know, there will be some additional discussions and negotiations with the Morroway Power Plant over ownership of the property. And the city attorney has told me that he thinks it's certainly achievable to acquire that property in negotiations with them. And certainly, I think to your question, there is the roadway would certainly have prescriptive rights.
Thank you.
I'll go sit down.
Okay, thank you very much. Would you like to speak to this issue, please?
I'd like to have an idea. You know, when I first prepared, I didn't realize I thought it was going to be like a 3-minute public comment. So is there a 3-minute presentation that what I'll do is I'll go ahead and... Okay. Let me just stop.
Before you start, would you like...
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. I was going to stop and introduce myself.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Dana Putnam, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay, and I'm also here... today as a representative of the Surf Rider Foundation, the local chapter of the Surf Rider Foundation. And I came prepared to comment on the proposed boat yard and haul out. I provided you with a report that I developed, and I'm going to speak a little bit more briefly than what's covered in the report. I may elaborate some since there's not as much of a time issue as I was anticipating, but I would like to put something up on the overhead if that's possible. I've developed my comments and report based on having attended the Parks and Recs meeting and the joint meeting with the Harbor Department and the Rec and Department, as well as talking to staff from those departments and members of the public. And in my report, I discussed the various locations of the proposed boat yard and haul out. And as you see in the picture here, the locations that are locations 2A, 2B, and 2C as being possible boatyard facilities, and location 1A as being possibly an alternative boat haul-out facility. Actually, at the last meeting of the Rec and Parks Department, there was a comment that there was some development being planned in that area of the pier, and I was thinking that potentially that could be considered, that the boat haul-out might be considered in conjunction with the possible development of that area. Of course, I'm speaking without much detailed knowledge of what that proposed development is. Now, what I'd like to do is to go to the recommendations that we've made from Surfrider, as well as myself as a private citizen, regarding the proposed boatyard and haul-out. First has to do with looking at what the need is. It's recommended that specific need for a boatyard and boat haul-out be determined. Specifically, what size boats need to be serviced, how many boats need to be serviced, do the benefits of providing such a service outweigh the cost? It is recommended that plan development be to a scale consistent with need. Second, it's recommended that maintain important coastal and bay views and place a boatyard or haul-out within or as close as possible to existing development. Three, reduce possible environmental hazards by placing a boatyard and haul-out in areas that do not put the environment at risk, and minimize the distance from the haul-out to the boatyard to prevent accidents, spills, and leaks in transit. Four, development should allow and not need to use adjacent land for a boatyard and haul-out. For example, a power plant intake building, if it was to be abandoned, might provide a good location for a haul-out and a boatyard. And then I had already mentioned the last issue regarding the 1A area, and I'm not really familiar with the specific development that's being proposed in that area. So in summary, what Surfrider is thinking about this is that the areas proposed with 1 and 2 are not the most ideal areas because they extend the development out into the view shed and out into the harbor, whereas the areas marked by 1A and 2C seem to be preferable areas. And that concludes my comments at this time.
Thank you very much. Your ideas are well received, and we'll give them some serious consideration as we proceed with this discussion of this project.
And you'll note in the report there's additional details looking at various issues related to aesthetics, environment, economics of a proposed facility.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'd like to address some of those concerns.
Can I ask a question? Sedana?
Sure.
I missed when you said where 1A and 2A were. I can't really see.
Okay, the 1A.
Dana, do you want this pointer? I'm playing with it. I don't. Or you want me to just try? I think 1A.
You can point at 1A. That's fine.
That's 1A right there.
Yeah, 1
T pair.
Yes.
Where your bait receivers used to be.
Yes, that was the
area
that
was side of the bait. The north side of the south T pair.
Between Gaffco and the Harbor Hut's what he's talking about.
This is an area that someone had brought up as a possible area.
Yeah.
In between the two T pairs, then.
Between Gaffco and the Harbor Hut. Right there where the parking lot is.
Is that what you're talking about?
Well, you know, I think that we have some openness to whether it might be on either the south or north side, depending on what made the most sense logically, if there was a possibility of that.
No.
But not specifically either north or south side. I think it would require, you know, additional study to look at it.
It would delay it 10 years.
Thanks.
Okay.
Are there any other questions of Mr. Putman? Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll open the discussion up to the board here. The pros and cons of one plan or the other, as was outlined in our packet.
Are you going to start with
I could start with this, I guess. The area in purple that is the currently the most likely area for the haul out and the boat boatyard and other development seems to me, at least, to be a rather small and restricted area.
Yes.
Still has an environmentally sensitive area designation. So even though we have access to that property, we don't really, until they change, if I'm right about this, they don't really, until it's until that designation is changed, we don't have any place to go with that. And when and how long it might take to clear that designation so that it can be used is an unanswered question at this point. One of the things that we might want to think about is to have RRM company do a little bit more work on the area in purple to give us a better idea of specifically what might fit there in terms of a boatyard conceptually. In my opinion right now, as I look at it, it just seems too small and too limited to be of much value. And if we put a boatyard there and we can't further use the area in yellow up there as a dry storage area, then we lose the revenue from that, which I think that there is a need for dry storage. And it's less costly to develop that than it would be to develop a boatyard. So if we can't use that, then we're designated as environmentally sensitive areas. So it would, that would have to
but be I'd plan for that.
Yeah. Pardon?
I'd plan for it along with it, because if you don't plan for it and ask for it, you're never going to get it.
Yeah. Okay. Some other comments?
You know, it seems like I've only been here like 4 or 5 months, but we only really have two choices. I mean, we only have that area if we're going to do a boat haul out. And so we have to either work with it and say we're going to put it there, or at least suggest that that's where it's going to go. Or I don't know of any alternative. I'm not so sure that we can do anything over there by Gaffco or Harbor Hut. I mean, we haven't even talked about that, but from the site meeting that we went to, there was really only two facilities, one where Coleman Park is, or two, over there by the intake. And
there's nothing there but a road now.
Exactly. And so really, the only logical place to go is where Coleman Park is, as far as I'm concerned, as limited as it may be.
I'd like to address some of his concerns and some of the public's concerns. Number one, how is this? Which one? This one? No, no.
That one. There you go.
There's nothing coming on now.
There is.
Where is it at? Okay. Okay. Right here, Coleman. Well, this thing's not working very good. There we go. Coleman Beach.
It's an operator problem.
That's going to be kept as Coleman Beach. Nothing would be put in that area unless the Parks and Recs wants to put something there. This area here, it now has the Embarcadero going all around here and parking there, and it's going to be a problem there. The area that the gentleman here that had the public comments or not, if it's a month to month or if it's still part of the lease there. But there's existing problems with the parking there. We have Coastal Commission says we have to have a certain amount of parking, and we have, you can't put that kind of facility today in a cluttered area with a lot of people walking by in restaurants. It's not viable. Now, you have the Harbor Walk there, along here, and in Ventura they have a harbor walk right next to the boatyard. And as far as view sheds are gone, boatyards are part of harbor view sheds for years. That's part of the aesthetics. Number two, we need that boatyard because for the same reasons that you guys have your Surf Rider Foundation, you want a clean ocean to swim in. And I said, we got a bunch of derelicts in this bay. It's going to have to be hauled out. And there's always going to be derelicts here because people come up the coast because it's the only harbor available. And they end up getting stuck here with old boats, and they end up seeming like they stay. And the harbor department gets stuck with them. And when they sink, you got a lot of diesel fuel, a lot of oil, a lot of crap going in the bay. and they can get fines for it. And there's a problem there. If you want to keep this bay clean, you need a boatyard. Now, I have to agree, that area is small. The area where Coleman Park is small, but it would be able to store at least and haul out and fix 20 boats there, I would say. In the 50 to as much as the biggest one would probably be 60 foot is all you get in there. You have to stack them in there at an angle. But there is room for it. The technology today now, when they have haul-out facilities, they put these boats over in a certain area, they wash the boats down there and clean them up, and that stuff goes into a drain and into a filter system. And the water is retained and used again. And that filter system is, the EPA keeps a tight eye on it. And as far as working on the boats there, all the boatyards down south, with anybody, whether there's any traffic or anybody, access to the properties. And 8 to 10 years isn't going to do this bay any good when boats are sinking in it. We've had two of them sink just recently in the last few years. One of them a fairly large one, and we've had several of them we've had to cut up because you can ask Rick about it. Things that's not going to change. There's still some derelicts there that are about ready to go. And for a safety feature, I know that the funding, eventually we could probably get some funding for this boatyard from Boating and Waterways in California and maybe some federal funding because it's the nature of the safe harbor area. I'm not too much worried about the funding in the future. Right now what we're looking at is getting a spot to put this thing, and there is no other place that I can think of. All the development down the other end of the waterfront, for years and years we had commercial facilities all the way down to Orville's. 90% of those are gone. Now, Major D protects this area from Beach Street to Target Rock and protects the lease sites in this area specifically for commercial fishing. And it was a vote of the people that did that. And I want the Parks Department to realize that that's what the zoning is. We also have public access issues. Yeah, but the public can still walk by. They put that nice walkway in at a nice price with nice mitigation funds that we have to pay for. But that should not stop that boatyard from coming in. And neither should the Surf Rider Foundation if they want to do what's right for this bay. And I'm telling you that you can suggest all these other areas. And if this board wants to suggest another area, that's fine. But it's going to be a long, long time before you ever see a boatyard. And we don't need one a long time from now. We need one now. Thank you.
Next.
Right.
Thanks, Gene. I suspect that's just a road easement.
Just a road easement. Okay, that's what I'm curious about.
Yeah.
And then as far as the commercial area that's in purple there, I know it seems small. I agree with Jim. We need to have a little more detail of what can go on there. We need more information there.
Well, and maybe I could correct my previous information, too. If you were to go that route, that would be a great question to ask RM. You know, I think conceptually, I guess I get where you're going now. Could you build something on it, or even
we need
flat
to know whether
improvements, flat work?
What we're looking at right here.
I mean, Ed said we could put 20 boats, design it to make it happen.
They can stack.
You know, you look at Coastal Boat Works, and it's only like as big as this room in here. You know, and it gets boats in and out. Have we eliminated this area down here next to the intake for any haul-out facility? I don't know.
You could drive the pilings and put it right in the middle of that rock revetment right there, like where the Coleman Park is. It's only going to be 35 feet wide and stick out 65 feet.
So
and it keeps everything else.
You're talking about over here?
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Now, have we eliminated any use of this area here? I would say no.
The current plan actually is that's where we would put the haul-out pier, where the travel lift would go. And I think I'm assuming that that's still the primary choice. I think we've talked about the potential of maybe putting a haul-out pier further to the north. And I don't know if you could kind of, you know, maybe in the area.
You mean along to
here? Yeah, where the Tom, if you chose, since we have a brother. But I think you should finish your board comments and then...
Yeah, I would prefer to finish the board comments first, and then we'll open it back up to you.
Okay, then I guess the two more comments is that I'd sure hate to lose any parking out in this area through here. My wife and I drove out here after dinner this evening, and it's a great place just to park there with your wife and look back on the bay, especially on Valentine's Day. I'd hate to lose that for parking out there. I know parks, that would be the only area that you... recreational would have any good use of that area there would be through that area there, but I'd hate to lose some of the parking there. And then, Rick, I have one more question on Ordinance 103. Can you enlighten me on that?
Yeah, that was an ordinance that was passed in the early 70s, I believe. And I had been telling people that my memory was of when I first, some 15, 16 years ago when we researched it, that ordinance was thrown out. It rezoned an area north, and it might be better if I had the pointer because there's been some confusion on this area. Oh, yeah, thanks.
We have a dueling pointer.
I got some help here, too. There has been some confusion on Ordinance 103. Was an attempt at that time to try and prevent any building, and there was a building or a development proposal in this area over here. It was something like 69th Street, I think was what it was. And that we've done some research because there's been a bunch of questions and that ordinance has been going around, and it would seem to prevent, if you don't read it carefully and check where the actual boundaries are, then it says something along the lines of no thrown out that ordinance, but that's all we found so far. So I've committed to that we're going to try and get a report by the end of this month from the city attorney, and we'll be able to tell you more about that. But I don't think Ordinance 103 is effective at this point. And my understanding was, and there may be people out in the audience who could help us with this, but when I reviewed all these things, I think that Measure D was a reaction to 103 being invalidated, and that Measure D was done around 1983 or 84 to try and close. The concept was Measure D was to cover this whole area, all the time.
Well,
that's
when I signed the affidavit for it. So I was one of the original signatories on that.
Let's say the early 80s. So then Measure D was passed, and it did include this whole area and created the, was codified as the CF district zone. And I think that's the effective development issues and zoning for this area. But we'll provide you different information on, we'll provide you some information at your next Harbor Advisory Board on Ordinance 103.
Thank you.
Ben?
The one in the middle.
Okay, I know everybody's saying that we can't do anything except in that purple area, but I would still have a question as to why there wouldn't be a possibility of doing it a haul-out yard back up against the bluff next to PG&E, which I think is here on this other photo labeled 2C.
It would be down.
It's Right. 2C.
So if I'm on here, yeah, we put Mr. Putnam's slide back up, and I think you're discussing this area that is what we often call the Front Street parking lot.
Right.
To the south, on the south border of the Morro Bay Power Plant.
Yes.
And then it would, of course, require a land-water interface, and that was the previous discussion you had on if there is a land-water interface. And the south and north side of the T-Pier. On the north side, there is an odd, you know, the property ownership questions are hard to believe almost at this point. Why, how does the power plant own two legs into the bay? And in fact, if you look at the previous, some of the other maps we've shown, the property ownership map, they in fact own in fee some of the bay in front of the intake structure. And that's because the Tidemen's Grant Line runs out here in the water. Historically, apparently, the high tide line was out in the water in this area till roughly around the foot of Beach Street. And when the Navy base was decommissioned in 1947 and the county acquired the old Navy base property, they negotiated with PG&E. Basically, they drew up a parcel pretty much as PG&E desired it. And PG&E desired to have two pieces of legs of their large 100-acre parcel, roughly 100-acre parcel, that would allow them to pick up bay water. One is the one where the current intake structure is. Note, because it's
the city attorney has also told me that there have been discussions about the city acquiring that. That potentially might have more value for the Morro Bay Power Plant than the other property we discussed about acquiring from them, because the other property definitely has environmental limitations on it versus a piece of paved waterfront ground. But there are also difficulties in developing for anybody to very, there would probably be great difficulties, especially if the city opposed it, in developing that piece of property between Grafco and Harbor Hut. So I think he feels like there is some potential that the city might someday acquire that property too. But those are just that sort of background.
Okay. So that wouldn't be very promising either. Perhaps
it's
less
a good
promising.
Spot, yeah.
Well, and I didn't want to interject myself too much, but I think the Boating Access Facility Committee, when they looked at this and we were retrenching after having a proposal to build the master plan, had put in a proposal to put a boat launch out Target Rock. The city council rejected it and formed this committee to look at where could we put a boatyard and a dry storage and something to, you know, allow the bay to continue to add boating opportunities and service our existing boats. They looked at that area. We had a lot of talk about that area, as I remember, in that Boating Access Facility Committee, this very area he's talking about. And I think, you know, the same issues you were talking about, they felt like it was going to be very difficult, but the best area probably would be to the south, to the South T Pier. That water interface is kind of open. The city owns it. You know, but there are a number of competing uses, and parking is, you know, would be displaced and all those things. But so they focused in the end thinking that.
No.
Michelle? I have a question for Rick. If we submit a plan to the city council and they don't like it, is that it? Or can we work on another one?
Good question.
I'm hoping what you will do eventually is make a recommendation to the city council, especially to have the city council give me some guidance on how we should proceed with this boating access facility plan, the boat repair yard and dry storage. If the city council doesn't accept your recommendation, most typically they would ask you to review it and reconsider it. But they may provide us different direction than would be your recommendation. It's hard for me to, you know, kind of speculate on those things. But oftentimes, you know, most of the time, they go along with your recommendation. That's the reason for appointing folks that can spend more time and specifically looking at the harbor issues and may have more familiarity than them. And then another common thing might be they ask you to reconsider, revise, and then another option, of course, they might just decide that they have different direction and they can choose to, they're the ones who make the decisions.
So then, I guess what looks best to me is the Coleman Park area still, with maybe looking, you know, doing that now and maybe looking at the future at the Den Dolk property. I know it's, yes, sir. More for the south side of the south jetty, just because it wouldn't be displacing any sport or commercial fishing operations as the place where the waves would be for that.
Okay. Trudy?
No, at this point, I'm just going to listen. Thanks. Okay. Taking it all in.
I would like to. Go ahead, Ed.
Are you ready for a motion? Or do you want to?
No, I want to yak a little bit first.
Go ahead.
Okay. My concern with the Coleman Park, as I mentioned earlier, is the possibility of it being limiting. But by saying that, I don't mean that it's something that we shouldn't consider. What I would like to see is phased development, if that's an appropriate term, such that we can, in the first phase of it, develop the lift and an area in the Coleman Park area
for storage and some facsimile, at least, of a boatyard, with phase two and or three being the pursuit of, one, the acquisition of the property that is currently the power plant, and three, or two, whichever that is, the stages.
That's fine if you want to, you know, ask them to look at other areas in the future. But if you're going to put one boatyard in there at Coleman Park, you're not going to have room for dry boat storage. You're going to have room for boats that want to haul out and get their bottom painted and their zincs changed and the, you know, caulking done if they're a wooden boat and shafts fixed and stuff like that.
Sure.
So that's all that area will handle, is not enough room for dry storage there. So,
but that's what I'm suggesting, right, is if we keep the plan for the ultimate development of dry storage in mind and part of the, part of the overall plan without giving that up.
You don't give that up.
That would be professional.
Can I make a correction on something I said?
Sure.
I meant South T-Pier, not South Jetty.
Oh,
that would be a bad spot.
You don't want them coming out of the South Jetty?
No.
There's too many people down there. There's too much going on. Too many residences on the bluff.
Rick, has RRM been in contact with the Coastal Commission staff, or is it just you dealing with the staff on the ESH designation?
So RRM was our designer on the Harbor Walk project. So I think they were, although I wasn't supervising that project, I believe RRM was in pretty close contact with Coastal Commission through the permitting process. And is, they seem very up on these issues. Then we, when I had heard that, excuse me, that Coastal Commission had made this determination on the area was going to be our future boat repair yard, we sent off a one- or two-page memo that I think I provided the board a year, year and a half ago. And outlined right now, it's just an ongoing discussion a lot of us have had.
Bill?
The one thing is that in our last meeting, we wanted to have a master plan with the Parks and Recs. It seems to me, and again, not knowing what the details were, is that most of those folks aren't real in favor of Coleman Park for some unknown reason. They kind of would like to see a boat. I think they like the concept. But they like to see it over there north of the intake plant, which I think is never going to happen only because of the fact they've already built the walkway. There's parking in there. And it's just I just think it's too congested now. And it's near the beach area, too, probably for the launching of the kayaks. My point being is that as a board here, I think we should have a jointed voice with the Parks and Rec as a master plan before we go to the city council. Because if we don't, there's going to be a lot of, I think, dissension.
Don't be that anymore.
Well, I understand that. But my point being is that, Rick, I think that, you know, I think that we as a board, if we make that stand, we would hope to get some consensus with the Parks and Recs, trying to tell them that this is really the only place that we can do it, if you know what I'm trying to say. I mean, if we don't do it that way and just kind of go in there, I think that we'll have more problems, personally. I mean, I'm not saying I'm for doing Coleman Park. I think it's the best place or the only place right now, and at least in my opinion, I don't think it gets used as any parking or any recreation. And I think the betterment of the city.
Give Mr. Putman a chance to respond.
Thank you. Yeah, I just have a brief thought that I didn't touch on before, but I am interested in that we didn't hear you talk much about or at all. In I don't know if we can switch back to that other. I don't know that it's critical, but. Having to do with one of the recommendations we talked about was having the haul out and the boatyard be adjacent to each other, because the concept of moving the boats distance is a problem. And one of the concerns that I didn't really highlight is a concern about access. And I think this is also an economic issue with the city and a possible traffic issue. And what I'm talking about is if you have to go over here and go from one over to two with your boat, daylight hours, you're going to quite possibly have a lineup all the way back to the Embarcadero of traffic, because that traffic out to the Rock is pretty constant. And even on a rainy day, if I go out there, I see many cars. And so I think one of the things that is important to consider is that if you're going to need to block the road, that's going to be a problem. So I just want to add that as an issue in terms of having a long distance between where the haulout is and the yard.
I would only point out, too, that the two is at the furthest end from the haulout. The travel lift would be well into the yard before it got to where number two is.
Well, my understanding is that the haulout would, at least before, would be at number one. This is what I had understand, but from
the place where the boating access facility plan, and I think it'd be, and that's good, and that'd be great. That's the kind of guidance. If that is not where you want to keep that, and you do want to try and relocate it over here where we'd be more direct to that facility, then that would be a good idea. Let us know.
Where Coleman Park is, yeah. Right?
No, not where the
beach. Right. Right. No, Rock Park. The Rock of Edmonton is.
On the Rock of Edmonton.
Yeah.
On the beaches.
On the Rock of Edmonton to the north, yeah, you'd stay as – I would really strongly recommend that if you want to move it, stay out of the beach area.
Right.
I'm sure that if you do decide that we should do a little more on specific details, that dirt parking area should be – the dirt area should be developed for beach access, and the only place you could do something like that would be in this – yeah, the Rock of Edmonton.
Right there.
Yeah.
I feel it's kind of incumbent upon me to say also that – the idea of Surfrider is not having a distance and maintaining access, but as a citizen, you know, I'm making some comments, and I'm sure that Surfrider as an organization wouldn't support the number two area. And so I think it's incumbent upon me, being that I did agree to represent them, that I don't think that they would agree to that area. But I do think that the issue of the haulout and the boatyard being adjacent is an important issue.
Thank you. What I, unless there's just more general discussion, I think what we, what I would like to do now is have the board come up with a recommendation for more specific development ideas to be done between now and the next board meeting.
Well, I don't know if we need another board meeting on it, but how facilities you can get in that area, and how many boats we can haul out, and have a travel lift right there on the Rock Revetment, and not to spend the whole $40,000 necessarily on it, but just to get some measurements done and a general idea of what the area would hold and what the facilities would be, and because I can't see any other place right now or in the near future that would work for a boatyard, and I've looked all of them down that bay, and that's just my motion.
Well, okay, there's a motion then. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, a motion made by Ed and seconded by Bill to have RM take another look at the Coleman area with the travel lift and the boatyard located both in that area to give us some idea, some better idea of how and what can be developed there. Any further discussion? Yes.
I think that RRM should also take a cursory look at the south side of the South Keep here as for a all-out facility there, and then perhaps travel lift across the parking lot to the other side of the front street parking area adjacent to the power plant.
Let me, if you want to make that as a second motion, I would accept it as that, or you want to amend the first motion.
A second
motion, I think, would be more appropriate,
okay,
and clearer.
Waste money on. You're not going to spray paint next to the residents.
I think RRM should look at that site. I mean, now whether we make that a separate motion or we tag it onto this one, that's up to the board. I just think it should be looked at. We should look at all of our options.
Make a second motion.
The reason I think that ought to be put forth in a second motion is that that area has not been part of the larger conceptual plan yet. So, and I would agree with you. It's a good idea to have them take a look at that. If that's feasible, they'll do it. You know, I'm sure they'll do it. But I think it, we need to deal with it as a separate motion.
That's fine.
Okay. So we're back to the first motion then, which is to have RM take a look at the Coleman Park area and its suitability for a haul out and a boatyard, giving us some idea of what could be done in that area. Further discussion.
Are we abandoning the idea of the boatyard being adjacent to the Den Duke property or the power plant? Or are we just limiting this motion to this particular site?
We're just, this motion would simply give us a better idea of what could be done with the Coleman Park area, assuming that that's the only area we will have. But it doesn't abandon the potential for,
Do you want that to be a separate motion?
I'd just like to make comment. I think I understand your motion, and we would try to make produce work product in, basically they have about 2 weeks for your, by the time your next work agenda, but by the time your next agenda is due to go out. So, and they've told me they thought they could do something like this, maybe two or three scenarios, but don't, you know, obviously within 2 weeks there's going to be, they're not going to be able to provide you a great amount of detail, but they indicated they, if you give them, we give them some guidance on what we'd like to look at in more detail, they'll try and fit in some specifics and show you how you might fit. So I think we can do that to the extent they have time.
Okay. Any other comment on the motion? Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Did we have a second?
Yeah, the second was Bill.
Yes. Now, Gene, do you want to?
Do you want which motion do you want now?
Well, you can probably
let's go with this area that we're talking about. Okay. I would like RRM to continuing to look into the property adjacent to the extension of Coleman Beach, the road. Maybe further discussions with staff of the Coastal Commission. We just. That, I think, is the preferred site for everybody. And if we can get that one moving ahead, we should continue on moving on that. I don't know how you make that a motion, but...
That sounds like a motion to me.
Yeah. Well, okay, but maybe you should see if you get a second before I interrupt. But I think I understood it, is that you're basically like to see a little more detail, maybe another scenario that would...
I'm thinking about the property that's owned by the power plant.
Why would we spend money on property, research property
we don't own? We've already spent money on property okay. We don't own.
I think, you know, we clarified the motion to my extent that I understand it, and I think we could certainly ask them to do that, and they probably could produce some product that would show us conceptually how much of a boat repair yard we could fit in that area. So I think the question you would be, is there a second for the motion?
Could you please repeat the motion one more time?
Why don't you try to?
That we direct staff to have RRM further look into the development of a boatyard as per original designs on the power plant property using the existing haul-out facility area next to the power plant.
Didn't they already make one of those?
I think maybe in my mind there is a plan that exists, would be the boating access facility plan that showed the extensive boat repair facility over on the east side of the dirt extension of Embarcadero. And so I'm assuming that this motion would ask us to go back and show some refinements, potentially, you know, might be a little smaller area now showing with the harbor walk improvements.
I guess what I'm after is I don't want to give up that.
They put a road through that property, though.
I'm talking to the east of that road. I don't want to give up that use of that area that easily. At least look into the environmental sensitive habitat status with Coastal Commission, have them spend some time seeing whether they can work out some agreement with Coastal Commission. I think it's to the benefit of the city.
Is that number one?
Maybe if we get that other that
one
other slide up there.
2A, I believe that is.
That's what you're saying, right?
No. We want to talk to PG&E.
Could you put that other slide up?
1 and 2B, yes.
When we want to talk to PG&E, or the power plant people, before we can get all this other stuff. They may not say, they might say, no, get the hell out. That'd be the first
Can
step,
I make a suggestion? To make a to change the motion to direct staff rather than RRM?
Right.
So we're not to direct staff to look into it more?
We've already had staff made negotiations with Coastal Commission.
But they haven't done it with the Morro Bay Power Plant.
But sometimes you're better off with professionals dealing with professionals. Staff dealing with somebody who deals with environmental issues all the time. A planner with a planner sort of thing, instead of a city administrator with a Coastal Commission staff person. Is what my feeling is. Take the motion or don't take the motion. It's up to you guys. The motion is to have city direct RRM negotiate or try to negotiate with Coastal Commission to relieve that ESH status on the power plant property.
Does RRM do that?
I'm sure that they're willing to do just about anything.
RNRM investigate the restrictions on the property that is east of the or adjacent to the power plant.
Gene, don't you think we ought to have somebody talk to them?
There's been a motion and a second,
we don't
so
own
we'll open it again for discussion. I think one of the things that, if I'm right in interpreting what your motivation is here, is not to lose sight of that larger plan. Going back to, I think, the one you showed, Rick, 1998, that showed the potential for development of that area, which was in place until we found out we don't have access to the big metal chunk. And I would agree that I would not like to lose sight of that by saying, well, we're going to accept just Coleman Park. So if that's partly the intent of your motion. Comment? Discussion?
Is there anybody that we can talk to at the power plant who might give us some indication of what their feelings would be on this?
Now you're talking.
I don't know who that would be. I don't know if RRM would have anybody that they could talk to, or if that would be Rick or who, but at least to put out some feelers on it.
I wouldn't spend a nickel until you talk to power plant. It's like putting a cart before a horse. I mean, why do it if they don't want to consider it? I mean, we need to know what they think.
We've already spent a good deal of money on that.
How'd you do it?
Okay.
Chicken before the,
Both parts are absolutely vital in order to be able to use that particular property.
I'm going to go have a cigarette. My vote's no.
Whether you feel that talking to the power plant should come before the Coastal Commission or the Coastal Commission before the power plant, they almost have equal status, so it doesn't really matter which one you start with. You do need to have both perspectives.
I don't think that it would be wrong of us to look at both sides, have RRM do that, and as Gene stated, tell us, in their opinion, whether that, what's the pros and cons of both sides within the next 2 weeks.
Okay, thanks. You have a motion and second, and I'm struggling a little bit because that did morph a little bit to the idea of that we were going to direct RM, you want to direct RM to negotiate, to start negotiations on.
Not necessarily negotiation. I just wanted to have dialogue with staff with our entity and the Coastal Commission staff to just feel how strong they are on that ESH designation. We've got biologists that say it is not.
Okay. I appreciate the clarification. Then we do have an existing council-approved budget for this project, and we've engaged RRM, so we've got sort of an open engagement with them. I think they really want to help. They did execute the Harbor Walk project. They've taken an interest in this. How about if I interpreted that motion to, we would ask RRM staff. Second motion I'm interpreting is not another alternative or revision. It's perhaps ask them to do some additional investigation into the ESH designation and the ownership of the property and be prepared on what their assessment might be, to be prepared to report on their assessment of those issues at your next meeting.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. If that sounds right. If you would like to see some additional plans or some additional plans on, say, the boating access facility plan or some revisions, that could be another motion. But I think...
Okay.
I think that's a little premature. Okay. Comments? Any further? Last chance.
Did anybody want to reread the motion for Eddie since it just changed again?
I heard what they added to it.
Well, the motion is we'll record the motion that that Gene made. But I do have to, at some point, I have to, I appreciate you letting me explain how I would interpret that. So you really don't direct, you know. So that if we have an agreement that that's the action you're expecting, that sounds fine to me.
Yeah, they won't come back with another set of plans or come back with possibly some answers or information. Yeah, assessment. Okay, any further questions? Okay, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now you want to do the third motion?
No.
We can save that one for another time.
Now, the vote on that was 7-0 in favor?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, very good.
I think we have a question for you.
Mr. Chairman, you have a question? Ed?
I like
the other. And the best person to answer that question is would be have the history of the extensive negotiations that have gone on over the modernization and property acquisitions, and that would be city attorney. And he has told me previously that he thought there was a potential that if the city wanted to acquire this land, it could be done because it probably has very little development value. The only value it might have to the power plant is if they need a mitigation area, they could execute mitigation, but it's probably not going to be over and above what's going to be required for ownership of the property anyway, so it probably has very little value.
Okay. Any further discussion on that item before we move further down the agenda? Okay, we're at information items then, Harbor Department status report.
Thanks, Dana.
Thanks, Dana.
Okay. You know, one note even before I start this, I think we're going to do our newsletter. So if anybody has any items they'd like to see in the newsletter and wants to help us out a little bit with that, feel free. You know, our quarterly newsletter, we might have missed a beat, but we're, I think, toward the end of this month for the March billing or somewhere in the near future, we'll be doing another quarterly newsletter. Susan prepared this and gave a report on the winter storms. We also gave that at City Council, and we had gusts over 70 knots for 3 to 5 days of a lot of wind. You all remember that. A lot of incidents. Really excellent job by the Harbor Patrol, all the Harbor Patrol. There was a number of places where they were busy, and we had a lot of things going on at once. And I know one through the storms, the worst was the storms. I think they were in the beginning of January or right around then. But we had the beach street slips were the worst damage. Almost all the pile-ups were broken, had to be replaced. One of the fingers needs structural repair that still needs to be done. We spent about $7,000 so far and executed the emergency repairs, but we've got still a little more work to do on those fingers. And we get that done in part with the assistance of a local contractor, but our Harbor Patrol did execute a lot of the repairs, so they do maintenance and repairs on our slips. CMAG Washington, D.C. meeting. We'll be going. The mayor and I will be returning to Washington on March 10th through the 13th. and the council just authorized that trip again. It's the trip we've made for the last 15 years, and it focuses on federal issues and lobbying for and, excuse me, advocating for dredging funds. But we do a lot of other work while we're there on federal issues and really spend a pretty busy 3 days. So that'll be right after your March meeting. There is a both tall ships are in the harbor now. One of them's tied up in front of Otter Rock, and one of them's tied up in front of Marina Square. So we're trying something a little different with this trip. And we did hear that the Lynx is going to come to town, I guess, for 10 days toward the end of March. Surf contest, that's February 16th. That's this weekend.
Big bad luck.
That's the big one. You want to talk about that a little bit? Yeah. Come on.
Well, let's see. They're calling for 10 to 12 foot.
All right. Ships to Reef did give us that that proposal still continues out there. There is local dive groups and local groups that are organizing themselves to propose and be proponents for the Ships to Reef and for sinking a ship off in Estero Bay. Their new website is www.ccs2, so .ccs2r.org. And you can get the latest information on the Ships to Reef there. The one thing that I don't totally understand now is that I hear that they're actively working on sinking, and they're proposing, they think it can be done, the organization thinks it could be done, permitted and actually executed toward the end of 2009, but I also hear that there is no approved plan for getting the vessels in Suisun Bay cleaned and where they're going to clean it yet. So there is a little bit of a disconnect, and until they solve that problem, but they're actively working on it. So Summer Beach lifeguards, we are going to be advertising here real quick. Did we get that advertising up? Okay. Yeah, I think the flyers are out, and so we'll be recruiting for our Summer Beach lifeguards. If there's any potential interested parties out there, give a call into the office, KL Moore or Dimitri Giraki, our supervisors. Ask for Dimitri or KL at the Harbor Office, 772-6254. DBW, Chief Harbor Patrol Officer, the Harbor Operations Manager, the Operations Manager did obtain a grant from Department of Boating and Waterways for $30,000 to repower the big boat. So that's great. New engines provided by state money. That actually comes from a summary of it, too. So I'll launch into that. It won't take too long. Wave energy. The federal energy, this is from a report from the Recreational Fishing Alliance, a white paper they did on wave energy proposals in October 2607. And I did not include this in your packet because I just obtained it not too long ago. I don't think I put this in your packet, but I'll read a part of this. Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, is proposing a fast-track permit process for ocean wave energy as renewable energy alternative. These technologies use wave action to generate electricity and are still in development stages. Stakes are high for venture capital investors, manufacturers, and power companies. And this is not in the report, but as a parenthesis, the state has mandated that 20% of energy generation at some point in the future, and I forget what it is, 15 or 20 years, somewhere out, that 20% will have to come from alternative energy sources. So that's a big motivator in some of these proposals. Oregon has taken the lead in promoting wave energy plants. Two projects are proposed in California off Eureka and Fort Bragg. This report at this time, they weren't aware there's also a major project that's proposed to FERC off our shores, which we've included a description in your packet. It's 17 square miles of ocean. It almost runs along seven linear miles of the coastline. State waters, federal waters. It's really quite an amazing proposal. And that has... that has been submitted to FERC.
When they say they're going to bury the wires and they're going right over 10 submarine cables, now let's see how they're going to bury the wires.
It would appear they haven't done a whole lot of research before they made that submittal, but they did make that submittal, and I was tempted. I'm ad-libbing off this report just for the clarity, but you know, when off Eureka and Fort Bragg have drawn considerable public interest and anger from fishing communities that may be blocked off in their livelihood by this new technology. More than 20 pilot project applications have been filed with FERC. That's for the West Coast, I believe. Maybe that's over the whole nation, but anyway. More than 20 pilot project applications have been filed with FERC and like mining claims, they seek to set stakes in the water and lock up promising areas before their market competitors do it first. The often used analogy describing the wave energy activity as a gold rush is not misplaced. In terms of area, Pacific Gas and Electric's proposal off Fort Bragg is one of the largest, covering 68 square miles in front of Noyo Harbor from 20 fathoms to 70 fathoms, ranging from Casper Point to Westport. There's big money behind this in general, talking about the proposals, not necessarily PG&E's. One company developing wave energy generation equipment recently held two initial public offerings and raised $140 million. Without doubt, some of these projects will be licensed by FERC. FERC is proposing a pilot permitting process that is inconsistent with normal rulemaking and exempt from much of the red tape and environmental review normally associated with power plant projects. So I have some additional material, but it's kind of interesting because when I first Googled GreenWave Energy, which is the company that made the proposal to FERC off Morro Bay, there was nothing on the internet, and now there is some things that are starting to show up on the internet. And I was able to obtain this white paper. I wasn't aware it existed when we did your packet. So we're learning a little bit more about this. I've also heard a presentation from a gentleman who's been working in the wave energy community, as he put it, and because of the Outer Continental Shelf, and again, especially north of Point Conception, so that's our area. There is also a proposal to do a small wave energy generation facility off Irene, off Platform Irene, off Vandenberg. And that would be small, but there are a number of projects out there, and some of these we are unable to really find out much about what FERC's pilot licensing process may be, but apparently they may have a very expedited licensing process to try and experimentally permit some of these projects. So that's what I know at this point.
Is there any chance that these will come at us like the Marine Reserves did, to say, well, that area is not any longer accessible to anybody for any reason?
I don't think they're going to do that. That's not going to happen. It might take some areas, but they're not going to displace the fishermen out there. It didn't happen with the submarine cables. They have a hell of a lot more money than these guys do.
Is there anybody locally that can speak to this green wave energy business?
I don't know anybody locally. I think if you did decide under future agenda items that you'd like to put this on your next agenda, I certainly could try to find somebody who might be able to provide you some additional information.
Well, you know, if they bury the wires, it's nothing. I don't see a problem there, but I want to know how big that each facility is. They have these black squares, doesn't take nothing. You know,
But this thing in our packet, I mean, this is saying that they have a proposal or a tentative proposal over there.
Otherwise, there's been, as far as I know, there's been no consultation with local or state government. No consultation with local government.
Well, it seems to me that they will if they're going to
land it. Isn't this the same thing that they put up in Coos Bay and it was torn up by the first storm that came along before it ever was activated?
I've heard a story about something like that, but I don't know where it was.
Yeah, that's where it was because my folks read it in the newspaper.
Well,
and
you're right.
Told me about it.
Rick, in the regulatory system, are not necessarily we involved, but is Morro Bay involved at all in the regulatory system?
The portion of this would be a portion of their proposal is also, I believe, within our city limits, although it's not totally clear. It does look like it's within the granted lands in the city limits. So I can't imagine that this some kind of license would be granted without the city reviewing if it's in the city limits. But
and then they'd bring the power to the power plant and then distribute it out?
One would assume that one reason why this proposal is being made in this area is because there are already transmission areas either at Diablo Canyon or at Morro Bay Power Plant. But, you know, that's just an assumption.
And then the church to the wire coming in by the rock. So if it comes down to city property somewhere, they're going to have to get a permit and they're going to have to deal with the city eventually.
A piece of the action.
I really don't know. I'm sorry.
Well, they will.
Official information or Representative Green Wave, that would be good.
I think it's exciting.
Yeah. Is that it, Rick? Status report?
Yes. Thank you.
Additional comments? Michelle?
Yeah, this scares me on many levels. I don't see how it's okay to, if they're going to put these underground, the cables, how it's okay to dig up and put cables underground, but then not dredge the finer sand from the back bay and put it out at sea. I don't know. I just don't like the idea of digging up any of the habitat, especially in that area, for anything else, anything more. And salmon are very sensitive to electricity. If there's any kind of electricity that's going to get out into the ocean environment, you know, it's just going to keep more salmon away from our area. So, yeah, I just from the one we got in our packet, there was a lot of issues I had with it, and I haven't even gotten a chance to read through this stuff that Trudy Googled here sitting next to me. So, yeah, it'll be interesting and scary all at the same time.
Okay. Anyone else? Comments on that?
I'd just ask, maybe, and I'm not sure how to go about this, if I need to make a motion, but to put it on...
Put you off just for a minute. We're on additional comments, and then we go to future agenda items, and I'll ask you to state that over again, okay? But additional comments just provides the board an opportunity to say whatever they want to say about whatever they have to say, so... We'll start with you, Trudy. Do you have anything other than that agenda item to?
No.
Okay.
Thank
Michelle,
you.
You'd mentioned earlier that you wanted to announce something about.
Central Coast Women for Fisheries is having an albacore enchilada sale. And if anybody's interested, they can contact Jackie at 772-8281. The pickup day is March 2nd. And Central Coast Women for Fisheries is a nonprofit organization dedicated to fostering and promoting a sense of living culture of our fishing communities by providing education, training, research, and support.
Are those enchiladas eaten on the spot, or do you buy them by the dozen and take them home?
You take them home. Buy a lot and take them home. It's West Coast Troll Caught Albacore.
Okay. Lynn?
No comment.
Ed?
Yeah, I think we ought to have one of the first personnel from the Harvard Department.
Got to have one of the personnel from the Harvard Department maybe mail the cable committee this a copy of this, because if they have on those plans, they're going to bury those electric wires. Well, they're going to run right over the top of those cables, and I'm sure they'd be interested about it. And if the fastest way, I figure we could get information, suggestion that you might do that. Didn't want to, didn't have to.
Bill?
No, nothing right now.
Okay. That brings us then to future agenda items.
Now that I looked at the agenda, to be put on the future agenda, I would say, could we come back with the Green Wave Energy situation and put it up for public comment and also garner any information about it we can.
Okay. My understanding for agenda items that there has to be kind of a board consensus in order to get it on the agenda.
So,
okay. It's not necessarily a motion, I don't think. But, we will add that to the to a future agenda or...
How about the next meeting?
Next meeting?
The March meeting. If well, there's enough time yeah. to...
Rick,
it's
what...
It's only 2 weeks for the meeting.
Yeah.
We're kind of pushed.
Maybe April would be better. But, you know, I could work that out with the chairman, see what we can doing, he and I could decide whether it's March or April, depending if we can get anybody and what we can get.
April's fine.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll see what we can find out between now and our next meeting, and if there's nothing available by that time, then we'll next meeting we'll put it on the April agenda then. Okay. Everybody agree with that? Your consensus? Okay. One agenda item. Anything else?
I just have two. It doesn't.
And with that project in recent months since we last had an update on it?
Yeah, we actually are working on it, and we're spending money on the EIR. And, okay. And so when did we do that last? We gave you a pretty extensive report in maybe September? So maybe a May or June kind of time frame?
Just
that would be like
sure
9 months.
We put it
keep it up
agenda.
There? Okay.
Keep motion forward.
Okay. Since I don't even know if we need a consensus on that, since that's just a continuing agreement we've everybody wants, we want to try and keep you informed too. So.
Okay. Ed? Anything for the agenda?
How about an update on Orville's dock? And
on what?
Orville's dock.
Is that the fuel dock?
Yeah. No.
No.
Orville's dock. Oh, the...
The fish market.
Fish market. No.
Martoni's place.
Just a status report.
Okay. How about if we'll try to... That doesn't sound like it's a request for an agenda item as much. Maybe include some information on it in your next status report.
Right, right.
Okay.
Okay. That's, is that okay? Agenda item, of course, will be the RRM's report on what we can do with Coleman Beach, so that will be on the agenda. Everybody agree to that?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else?
I have a question. Talking about lease sites, I heard that the boatyard has been closed or is going to be closed.
There had been some discussion because their crane needs to be recertified, but the latest I heard that they were hoping to work through that. They encouraged at that time, but that's a big nut for a small operation.
Yeah.
But they really want to try. A couple of things. We're gonna be proposing a fee increase. I'm gonna run that through you. Those are all the ever popular fee increases. For all of our fees. It's been since 2005 since we had CPI increases in our fees, and there's some history and some reasons why we haven't always, up until about 93 or 94, we had an agreement every year we just hit CPI increases, and then a council decided they didn't want to do that, so we quit doing that, so we've been a little bit intermittent, but we're going to propose that we do some catch-up with CPI, so I'd like to put that on your March agenda also. So fee increases. It might be better to do the other issue in April. And then by the time you get to May, just as a warning to you too, we always have you review the budget. So usually in May there's budget materials in preparation for next year's adoption of next year's budget. If not May, certainly in June.
Along with that and the fee increases, you know, I came down and I talked to Rick. I don't know if there's any discussion. A couple of the citizens in Morro Bay has come to me and asked me why we don't have the Die Tab program, and why we as Morro Bay do not issue that to at least the liveaboards. And when they do the permitting, to give them the Die Tabs right there and at least have that process going. Is there any discussion that we
should be made a future agenda item? As I think.
I think it'd be worthwhile discussing it myself. So yeah. And some more information about it. I know how it works in Catalina and such, but that's the very temporary kind of thing. The boats that go in and out of there, but I don't know how it would work for liveaboards.
Well, when they get their permit and they pay it, then we give them the tabs, and we it's like the Big Brother thing. Now, I'm not saying that we become a Gestapo, but at least they know that we might be able to get on the boat to look at it.
Yeah, but their permits once a year, and they put a tab in, then they pump out next week, and it's gone.
So. Can we give CMC die tabs?
But, if there's some interest, we can put that on a future agenda. Something to discuss. We've got plenty on the agenda right now.
It is kind of late. If it isn't clear, we get a consensus. Let's bring it up in the next March, sure. March meeting again, and see if we get done a little earlier. Maybe there'll be a little more enthusiasm across the board. Because I don't mind putting it on the future agenda. I know we had a long talk about it. There's reasons why we haven't done it here, but I think there's also worth discussing, and maybe we should explain that to the public and see if the board feels that the recommendation council should be different. We can. At this time, I didn't get a consensus to put it on the agenda, but bring it up again next week, next month.
Okay. Yeah, there seems to be a consensus.
Okay, well, then maybe there is. Okay, we'll bring it up again.
But specifically, we have the RRM and the fee increase on